Happy Monday, everybody. Hopefully everybody out there had a good weekend. But it is Monday, so time for some MOA Monday. Get those questions ready. Get those topics ready. Certainly willing to discuss those. We are live here on the YouTubes. We're simulcast also over on Gun Channels, where it looks like dead horses hanging. So let me grab the link for Gun Channels. Throw it over here on the YouTube side as the notifications may or may not go out. And people start getting into the room here. We'll do a few shout outs here. And then as more come in, then we'll shout them out as well. If I miss you, then just tag me and say, hey, dude, what's up? You missed me. So, Roz, it looks like, what we got? Looks like maybe Ozzy was first out there, according to my chat anyway. So, rock on. Sam is out there as well. The Gun Snob's with us. Mr. Buck in the house. Kingpin's there. Ashley may or may not be here. She had to go to work, looks like she said. So, that sucks. User in the house as well. The 1%, the Tactical Pickle is out there. Mr. Baker is with us. Patriot in the Dark. Trauma Jock there as well. User says, what did user say up here? Any debates yet? It's not going to be much of a debate in this chat, I don't think. It's a little one-sided. All you out there are certainly free to throw the questions and the topics and the stuff out there. But, you know, at the end of the day, I have to read them for there to be a debate, right? So if I wanted to control it, I could just ignore it. I like having that type of power. It's intoxicating. So Philo jumping in with us. Rob's out there. Jeff is Hemi in the house. But what is up? What to talk about? To kind of get us started here for a little bit. You were watching, was it yesterday? I think. Remember if it was yesterday or Saturday that I went live, did a little unboxing with the stuff I got from Modern Spartan Systems. Pretty cool. Got some extra stuff from those folks. Did clean up the Buckmark. The Buckmark I call mine, right? That I'm using for Steel Challenge. Did do a barrel clean on it. Think I'm gonna do my long barrel. It's just basically in a box over there. But when I took it off and swapped it out, I didn't clean it or anything. So probably would be nice to clean that dude up. That way, if I do switch back over, it's ready to go. And we'll use those products, of course, to do that. So we're in the testing phase on that stuff. Use the the copper lead destroyer, as well as the accurizing oil. So yeah, Tactical Pickle out there, he says sounds like the Clintons that I'm gonna suicide people who don't agree. Nah, I won't go that far. I can just hide you on the channel and make it look as though you don't exist. All right. That's a little better. It looks like 1% jumped in over on the Gun Channel side. Caleb's out there with us now. So is Tax Chef. So what is up? And Caleb says he was messing around with that 12A he got. Seems like the safety is stuck. Should he leave it or try to fix it? Yeah, I would try to look into that and fix it. And figure out what's going on. You know, anytime you're dealing with a safety, a safety issue, you're talking about a lot of times something that impedes the hammer or the trigger or the sear or the disconnector, you know, that type of thing. So if you've got any kind of weirdness going on, I mean, it could cause other issues. So yeah, if you're having trouble with it, I would definitely look into it. It could have a burr. Could have had a burr on it. Trying to think of some of the things that could have happened with that. You always run the risk of dirt and crud and other things. I don't know how old it is, how many rounds have been put through it, how well it's been cleaned, things like that. But I mean, you know, take it apart, take a look at it. Could be a very simple fix. So if you're dealing with a safety, I don't think I would just leave it. I think I would want to get it fixed. Now, on the other hand, I have completely taken safeties off. I've got a couple of rifles used for competition, and they've been converted from magazine fed over to, they're bolt action rifles, of course. And they've been converted from magazine fed over to single shot. You can get, especially with 3D printers and stuff nowadays. Back in the day, I think I had to order these from Australia, but they were single shot mag adapters. It looks like a magazine and it goes up in there, but basically it just has a little ramp you lay your round on. Now, some of those I have completely done away with the safety altogether. And that had to do with some of the trigger work and other things that was done on them. But again, they're single shots. So, you know, something along the lines of that, you know, I'd rather see one completely removed as opposed to not working properly. Hey, DT Pfeiffer, looks like, has jumped in over on the Gun Channel side. So, what is up, sir? Let's see what we've got here. Rob D's asking, can I help him pick, build a computer? I could probably do that. An email conversation most likely is going to be the best way. We can send some links back and forth, take a look at some things. Kind of depends on what you're doing with it. If you're talking about content creation and stuff like that, I've said it a bunch of times. I mean, you're really going to be better served by probably getting an i7 processor or something fairly equivalent. Dedicated graphics, if you can get it, for sure. You know, 8+ gigs of memory. And then one of the big things, particularly if you're talking about film and video and stuff like that, is going to be it's going to be the solid state hard drive. That's a huge one. But you can add that to a computer. So if you find a good deal on something, don't let the fact that it doesn't have a solid state be a deal breaker. You could always pick up a solid state, copy everything over, and go. Trauma Jock out there, he says, let's take bets on if Matt will start out his chat talking about 35-year-old sexual assault allegations. Is that the Kavanaugh thing? Is that what we're talking about? Or is that what you're talking about out there, I should say? Trauma Jock? One 1% out there says, I'm going to make up abuse allegations against people. Yeah, that's entirely possible. Drama Jock says, take a stand against trigger weirdness. Yes. 1%. Rich White, he says, they talked about the Kavanaugh stuff last night on Unloaded Media. So get over there, check out Unloaded Media if you want to. To catch up on that. User is saying, did I see budget guns and gear review of the X-Star AP9? Any thoughts of your own? I have not played around with that. I did not see the video review, or have not seen the video review. It's certainly a cheap, I don't even know that it's cheap with the price of some of the kits and other things that are out there. But yeah, certainly a cheaper option for a PCC style pistol, maybe what you would call that. Looks a little hokey to me. I think I'd rather just build something from the ground up, maybe. But that's my opinion. I have no experience with it. So Not gonna dog on it too much. Kingpin out there, he says, yeah, that was a good review by Budget. Yeah, Budget does good. He does very good work. In fact, he gets long-winded a few times. So, the tax chef out there, I do not. He's saying, has anyone had a problem with Underwood Extreme Defense under Shield 9 or anything else? He's thinking about getting a box or two. Yeah, I've never used any of the Underwood stuff. That said, I have used hand-loaded stuff that are basically the same projectiles Underwood uses. And I haven't had any issues out of anything. Of course, when you're talking about factory ammo, sometimes you get into a weird situation, you know, where there could be something with the machinery that gets out of whack, or maybe they're loading a little on the light side or low pressure side, I should say, right, for liability purposes or something like that. And you've got a particular pistol that, you know, has fairly tough, fairly heavy, tough springs in it. I mean, I can definitely see it happening. Local 223 out there asking about the Blackhawk. He said, what's the longest shot you would take with a 10.5-inch Blackhawk and 44 mag on big game with good conditions and iron sights? Assuming that I was in a blind or a stand and I was able to rest. You're not talking about a standing offhand shot. And we're in basically, you're talking about a hunting situation. You're also talking big game. So, we really don't have a lot of big game around here. I mean, some pigs, I guess, could be considered that. The deer around these parts certainly aren't. But 44 mag, I mean, 100 yards pretty easily would be where I would go with that. I would think as you close in on that 150 mark with 44 mag, this is just experience with using a lever rifle in 44 mag, which is obviously a longer barrel, a little hotter load, a little more velocity on it, which of course helps with energy, you know, terminal energy and all that good kind of stuff. Even with that, I don't think I would go much bigger than 150. So, you know, I'm thinking a 10.5. Yeah, I probably wouldn't want to go more than about 100. Rob D asking for the email. Easy enough, Rob. It's live@clovertac.com. I'll throw that into the chat here for everybody, if it will allow me to do so. And that gives me kind of a stopping point too, to talk about a couple of things. First of all, the cap, the great cap giveaway. I'm going to throw the link out in the chat for that one. If you haven't checked that out, go do it, because very simple rules in that. You can win one of three caps we're going to give away actually next week on this show. All you have to do is jump over to clovertac.com, and I'll throw the link in for that as well. Scroll down to the bottom, sign up for the email list, and you're pretty much good to go. I'm going to pick the winners off of that list. Randomly, of course, pick the winners off of that list. And we'll start with we've got a CloverTac cap. All the caps will be in your choice of colors, of whatever I've got available. I'll let the winners pick. We may not have very many colors available, depending on, what gets bought through the swag store over there. But it's one of those things where if you don't mind waiting, then, you know, when that particular color, when I get that back in stock, get some more made, we can send it out to you then. But yeah, let's get scrolled down here. See if we can pick up a few more questions. User out there, he says he's been wanting a 9mm carbine for a while, but would possibly go for that pistol. I'm not a big AR pistol platform guy. I don't really care for the braces. Once you've had SBRs, my opinion anyway, I kind of got spoiled to having the actual stock and, you know, being able to play around with stuff that way. So, I mean, I can certainly see the appeal for some people that don't want to go through that, or maybe they never have went through all of that rigmarole, let's say, to get stuff like that done. The tactical pickle out there, he said, since these unsubstantiated abuse claims are enough to knock people out of office, if we can organize a bunch of claims against Feinstein to get rid of her. If they're unsubstantiated, has anything unsubstantiated knocked anybody out of office yet? I don't see, you know, often people step down, but, you know, I don't see, you know, don't really see what's going on. But, yeah, I find it interesting with the whole Kavanaugh thing that you got Sotomayor and Kagan, of course, that Obama nominated. And the Republicans did the same thing. They kind of roadblocked and demonized. And then now that it's somebody on the Republican side, the Democrats do the same thing. And then the Republicans shame them for doing what they did earlier. Ultimately, you know, I have to agree with Mitch McConnell ultimately that, you know what, if you want to elect, you want to nominate judges, shouldn't say elected, judges aren't elected, you want to nominate judges, then you need to win elections. And I would agree with that. That's why, as a voter and being out here and trying to inform people and, you know, tell them the best candidates to vote for and all of the, you know, that sort of stuff, or who we think the best candidates are. I think that's always a subject that needs to come up is we need to talk about the courts, because a lot of people, you know, there was an empty seat with this last election, but a lot of times there's not, but you never know what's going to happen. You never know who's going to retire. You never know who might get sick and pass away. You never know. So from one president to the next, that's always a potential issue that's there. And a lot of people, unless it's an in-your-face thing like the vacant seat this last time, a lot of people just they don't put that ball into play. And I think that they really need to do that. Looks like I see Andrew just jumped in out there. That guy's wife is with us. Tardot Ghost is out there. Mad Sexy, too. What is happening? Mad Sexy says, what do I think about shooting a jar of Tannerite? I say, do it. I would replace the word jar with something else, because when I hear word jar, I think of glass, and I would not want to do that. But if you had some type of a plastic jug or something like that, yeah, heck, absolutely. I've said a bunch of times that I make my own binary, which is got a little more boom and bang. You know, what am I thinking? An 80 gram of my binary will produce a louder boom than a half pound of actual Tannerite brand. But there's a lot of different ones out there. That's why I say binary. Tannerite is a commercial name. It's kind of like hot tub and jacuzzi, right? Tannerite is like jacuzzi. It's a commercial name that people apply to everything. But there's a lot of it out there. There's a lot of the lower velocity stuff's really cool. Something else that's neat, that's actually in the giveaway prize vault, believe it or not. I put them in there. I haven't used them myself, but I've thought about it, is there are these little caps that you screw onto 2-liter bottles, and then you can fill them with like 100, or I think it's 110 maybe, PSI of air. And in those things, you can shoot with a blowgun or an arrow or whatever, and they've got a pretty decent boom to them, and it's just air. So, you know, if you're somewhere that you're concerned with the whole binary thing or whatever, I picked those up in Walmart. So look around for those. It's just a little, like I said, just a little soda bottle cap with a like a oh heck, like a valve in it, like a what am I thinking? Like a football or a basketball or something would have. Pretty interesting. Michael Baker out there says SIG 229 Legion worth the money or no? I think if you have the money, then yes, I think the 229 Legion would be worth the money. I am not a huge SIG fan, but could definitely go for the Legion. Now the 1% talking about the Underwood Extreme Defender, he says it isn't much better than a standard 9mm defensive jacketed hollow point video, according to Paul Harrell. He did one on them, comparing them to the 380. yeah, I mean, I can see that. I mean, you're honestly only going to get so much with ammunition. Unless you start getting real radical with the load process, the materials used, a lot of stuff like that. And then when you're talking about a defensive situation, I mean, think about it. People have used firearms in self-defense for 200 years or longer, you know. So, you know, I will say it over and over, the people that talk about, I don't necessarily think that a 22 is an appropriate defensive caliber. Certainly don't like a 25, you know, 32, maybe we're starting to get into it with something like that. Then again, I'm not going to stand there and get shot with it. Ain't happening. So from a defensive standpoint, anything is going to be slightly better than a pointy stick, right? Now, Tactical Pickle out there, he's trying to start a fight. He says 40 Smith & Wesson is better than 10 millimeter. He must have his, must have recently got a medical marijuana card or something, and he's smoking some good stuff. That's all I can say. I do not like the 40. Pretty much on the record for that. I don't know. Once you know, if you ever were in a situation where you were into the 10 millimeter before you ever, you know, the 40 was really ever on your radar, then the 40 is just, that is pointless almost. You're like, man, I'm dealing with the same amount of recoil. I don't have near as much energy. It doesn't shoot as flat. Just a lot of issues with that. Yeah, Trauma Jock out there says, don't trigger AC or jumpy. Yeah, they're both 10 millimeter life for sure. They do not mind. Do not mind telling you that. Trying to see how far I am behind in the chat. Wow, I'm a pretty good ways behind in the chat. Here we go. Trauma Jock, he said if he had, if I had no 9mm ammo at all, I'd buy the Remington green and white box, 115 grain hollow points, just because Paul showed they perform you. Yeah, I mean, I've shot a lot of those over the years. And they'll get it done and you know, cheap enough even for range ammo, stuff like that even. So, you know, it's really important that you practice / train whatever with what you're going to defensively be using, or at least a close equivalent, right? Now, Ozzy says he shot the Underwood Extreme. Somebody was asking earlier. He said he shot the Underwood Extreme Defender in his SIG 320s and 365s with no problem. So, a little more feedback on that. Hey, JJ looks like, I see, has jumped in out there. So, what is up? We're talking about the raining around here. Yeah, it is raining, or did rain today, anyway. It's been raining almost every day. It's those, you know, as the weather warms up or as the weather cools down, you get those thunder showers that happen, right? So, it's not been a real organized squall line, you know, or, you know, something that's ahead of a front necessarily or anything like that. But, yeah, just those random pop-up thunder showers. User out there says, has there been a conservative that ran for a major office in the last 30 years that the left has had them accuse them of sexual harassment, assault? That's the go-to user nowadays, it seems to be. And it's sad. It's just like a lot of things. You know, whether they go to this Me Too movement or whatever else, people just harp and nail and continue to focus on certain things and utilize certain terms and do until, you know, at some point it's like crying wolf, right? It's like, you know, there's no realistic way that, you know, that's the case. We know statistically it's just not probable. And a vast majority of people, they realize that. And the bad thing about it is they ultimately end up hurting their cause because they want to champion those people that have been victimized. And they hurt their cause because it's almost like they delegitimize the whole issue by just using it and harping on it so much, right? Kingpin says, or you can be a Supreme Court justice that dies on a shady hunting trip and there's no autopsy. There's nothing weird about that, right? Just die in your sleep. Yeah. Clean bill of health and all that good stuff. It happens. It happens. Roosted in the house out there. So he's editing a video, but he'll be listening. So what is up? What is up, Roosted? Kingpin says, Tannerite comes in a plastic bottle that you can mix it in. Go bang. Yeah, the stuff that I've bought, the commercial stuff I've bought before. Yeah, it's a two-part. The catalyst comes in a bag with a little dipper, and you dip that out, and then the base, I guess you could call it. I'm not a chemist or anything like that, so forgive my redneck terminology for it. But, yeah, that the base or whatever comes in a little jar, and all you do is just basically pour that jar into the larger empty jar they send, and then the catalyst, and shake it up, and then put it back in the smaller jar. I have found, though, with commercial Tannerite, it doesn't all fit back in the smaller jar, which is interesting. You do usually have a little waste, so that's kind of interesting. Hey, user out there, he's breaking out all kind of names on here. He says Clarence Thomas, Herman Cain, Donald Trump, Brett Kavanaugh, etc. Yeah, definitely. AWAG is with us, I see out there, as well as John Z. Dusty over on the Gun Channel side. Now, Dead Horse is asking a question about the 6.5 Grendel, and I do not load for the 6.5 Grendel. So, unfortunately, I can't answer that question. He says, what is a good powder for 6.5 Grendel and your favorite projectile for it? I do not do 6.5 Grendel. When I was tossing around the idea of building a new rifle, it was between 6.5 Grendel and 6.8 SPC, and I went 6.8 instead. So, have no loading experience with that, unfortunately. Then Dead Horse says, and if you already have 223 and other small calibers, is there anything at all to gain or any real use for 204? That 223, 222 Nosler, 224 Valk can't do. Talk him into a 204 or talk me out of it. I don't have any of those, Dead Horse, either. If I was going to go with one of those, I would more likely go with the 22 Nosler, I think. I have seen some 22 Noslers, not in a semi-automatic platform, but I've definitely seen some 22 Nosler, and it's a pretty wicked sweet round. Smaller game for sure. I mean, I've seen some Prairie Dog stuff done with 22 Nosler, as well as some crows get taken out. It's a pretty fast little round. The Valkyrie, I would say stay away from the Valkyrie right now, would be my opinion on it. There's just not near enough. It's not near enough research, doesn't seem to be. Federal put that out, and it was Federal's game, and I don't know if they didn't open it up to other people enough, or, you know, as far as the R&D and stuff into it, but it's cool, and I think it's promising, but you get all into projectile weights and twist rates and other things. I think that it's kind of a mess right now. What is Ghost Tactical? He says, can you please explain the difference in macroeconomics and microeconomics? One is larger than the other. That's the extent. One of them you would have, let's say, $5. The other one you would have, say, $1, right? So that's the difference. More money or less money. Oh, goodness. Yeah, Calaveras out there. We were talking about the defensive calibers. And, of course, I lost his comment. But here it is. He says, 22, 25, 32. They'll get the job done. In the right spot at a close enough range. But not what he would call ideal. It depends. I mean, if you're talking about somebody that's trying to rob you, you know, rape you, I don't know, something like that, then that's a lot different than somebody that's got a death wish. You know, when we talk about like a mass shooting situation, a lot of those people, I mean, they've made their peace, so to speak, right? It doesn't matter what the outcome is. So, you know, but the vast majority of criminality, I think, out there, you pop a hole in them with a pellet rifle, and they're, you know, I got to think they're probably going to think twice. I've never been into that situation, unfortunately, but. Tag Danny's out there. He said, caliber wars are for dummies. Yeah, I would almost have to begrudgingly agree. If you have a problem with it, I tell you what, if you have a problem with a caliber, sign up to wear armor and get shot point blank. You know, I won't even say just get shot with it. Because, I mean, obviously, sign up to just get, you know. Because I got to tell you, even behind an armor plate, I don't know that I would want to experience getting hit with a 22 long rifle. Einstein out there, he says, for those as lazy as me, he makes pop bottles by buying a dozen auto valve stems off eBay, drilling appropriate size in a 2-liter. And then fill them up. Yeah, I actually did that, Einstein. So, that's where I was surprised when I seen that they actually had them commercially available now. But yeah, I actually made some myself, just drilled the holes and put the valve stems in myself and made them. So you can definitely do that. Now I filled them much more than 20 pounds. Like I said, 100, 110 pounds. And I can't remember on the package for these, but it does say 100 or 110 pound capacity. I actually hooked it up and let my compressor run until the bottle exploded. And what it did is it ripped basically at the cap. And oh, good Lord, I think it was like 160 or 180 pounds of pressure or something. Of course, not all bottles are created equal, too. I find that the cheaper soda bottles actually are better bottles, it seems like. You know, a lot of the Dr. Pepper, Coke, things like that, they've got a curve to them. They kind of look like the curve 20-ounce bottles. And those particular ones that have all the curves and stuff and are not just a regular-looking bottle, what would it be, like a flat-sided or whatever, straight-sided bottle? The straight-sided ones tend to work best. I think it has to do with something maybe where they mold the form the plastic or whatever in those curves, and this maybe it's a little weaker there or something. And you know it's got to have different pressure, right? Your pressure's not even if you've got that curve going on. So, 1% said they had a tornado warning near there today. That's a little frightening. Hopefully, you get through and everything is okay. Michael Baker says he's trying to subscribe to the email list. Entered his email, clicked the verification link. The message at the very bottom said wrong passkey. Really? That's interesting. I'll check on it. I'll check on it, Michael. It seems like you're already signed up, though. Are you sure you're not? Because I could have swore I seen you in the list. So, yeah, get with me after this or something. Maybe email me live@clovertech.com and we'll look at it. And I'll go in and look at it too, because it may have you added. It may just be showing some weird something up there. But that's interesting, because there's quite a few on that list and nobody has said they've had a passkey problem, and I've never seen that before. So I'm not sure what's causing it, but we can figure it out. Tech support, maybe. Haven't seen tech support out there. I don't know if that's somebody that changed their name or somebody that's new. So if you're new, welcome. Says, does the military use defensive ammunition? No, it's more offensive ammunition for military use. A lot of stipulations when you come to when it comes to military ammunition. Man, when you got to deal with Geneva and NATO and a bunch of other malarkey, right? AWAG says, he's got a good one. He says, what do you think's the most 90s era firearm? One of my favorites, I think, is because of all the action movies and everything else it was in the 80s, and that's the Beretta 92. It seems like, it don't seem like there's a TV show or a, you know, with action that had to do with law enforcement, military, vigilantism, whatever. Seemed like all of that through the 80s, you know, you had a 92 in pretty much everything. Right. And I think that's where some of my love for the 92 or 96 for that matter comes from, or the Taurus variants, either way. Meldon Nutt looks like he's jumped in out there. Says he's not going to make the Patreon chat. Going to be on a plane. Ask good questions for me. So thanks, Mel, for that. I appreciate you reminding me of that. Let me grab a link right quick to Patreon and drop that. In case anybody doesn't know, we're on Patreon. Shh, keep that a secret. No. The private Patreon chat is tonight. We do two private things a month there. We do the Lawn Chair Pops, and then we do the that's where we shoot a firearm, obviously. Duh. And then we've got the private Patreon chat. There's several things tonight with I want some advice and some opinions on from the patrons over there. Gotta say that right. AWAG talking about he's talking about Tatterite. Says it's a nitrite based with powderized aluminum as a catalyst. Yes, AWAG, I was not going to get into crazy recipes on stuff because, like I said, I do my own, but, you know, that's a whole private conversation for liability purposes. There's been some pretty rough stories. I won't get into them here, but I've heard some rough stories when you start talking about, you know, mixing that sort of stuff and mixing chemicals and stuff. The guy I learned from is actually a licensed pyrotechnic guy. And yeah, he's told some fairly gruesome stories of some things that's went on. So it's something that you definitely want to once you know what you're doing. Sam out there, he says, what are my thoughts on Wilson Combat pistols? My thoughts is if I could freaking afford one, I would. I'm not a big 1911 fan, but the Beretta 92s that they do, the Berettas that they do, are pretty doggone sweet. And I'm not gonna lie, there's a couple of the 1911s. Wilson Combat is one of those places that they are dedicated to, you know, really hand fitting everything and taking care of you. Pretty much you buy Wilson Combat, that thing is marked as to who built it. If it ever has to come back for even upgrades, let's say you decide you want to upgrade or change this or change that, and you send it to him, it goes back to the same dude, assuming he's working there still. It goes back to the same dude. So it's a pretty interesting concept they got. I'm not real sure if other custom companies, manufacturers do that or not. They probably do. It's probably not unique to Wilson Combat, but yeah, definitely high quality, and I think you might get what you pay for in that sense. All right. My chat jumped on me, so let me get back up here. Leather Guns, I see, is out there with us. What is up, Leather Guns? Throwing a thumb up. Throwing a thumb up and waving. That's better than a finger up and waving, so we will take it. 1% says Ghost probably making a grilled crayon sandwich for dinner. You know, interesting story about Ghost and crayons, right? So we're grocery shopping a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, they have the end caps, right? On the, you know, picture a grocery store aisle, and they've got the end caps. And right there on the end caps on the aisle side, right, they always have these strips of things hanging. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it's always silly stuff. It's like things to put over your canned drink to keep it fresh, or it's, you know, maybe it's a special kind of spice or a little weird, you know, something. So around one of those corners, look up, and they actually have crayons. We're talking about in the grocery store side, on the food aisle, on a little end cap, they've got crayons. And I had to double take because I thought, well, that's like crayon candles, right? Or maybe it's some kind of an edible crayon. And I got to looking, and it was actual crayons. So I chuckled to myself. I actually thought about Ghost. I'm like, this would be kind of dangerous if they did this kind of display in the grocery store where Ghost shops. That could get dangerous quick. AWAG says 22 Grendel is one that exists in a long-range AR competition. It's far better than a 224 Valkyrie and way more accurate. I don't doubt that. I've got no experience with that, but I've got no doubt with some of the issues that's going on with the Valkyrie right now. Does not surprise me. Amanda H is out there, and I am behind, hopefully, still out there. What is Dale out there says, even someone with a death wish, a 22 just above the eye, is likely to make an effect, but not ideal. Well, I mean, even someone that has a death wish or is committed to doing something wrong, you know, okay, in their mind they've made that up, but then when their body says, holy crap, you've been shot 15 times by a 22 long rifle, you start getting the shock factor and the pain factor and everything else, you know, could they just kind of go down and lay there in a ball? Yeah. I mean, that could certainly happen. Kingpin out there says, if I could only have one choice, would I pick a longer or shorter barrel rifle? I'm going to go shorter. And the reason I'm going to go shorter is you start reloading, you kind of start figuring this out that you don't got to have the long barrel to really get range, depending on what you're talking about. So I guess, it would have to be for me, my quick answer on that would be shorter barrel, but it would need to be a little more specific as to what we're talking about. We're talking about a, 24 inch versus let's say an 8 inch. Then I don't know about that. 24 inch versus let's say 12 inch. At that point, probably depending on the caliber, would go shorter. Matt Sexy says he's got a split. Dinner is done. So awesome. Yeah, we've got Kingpin out there. He says he might be wrong, but it isn't 22 round. The one most are killed with. I don't know. It's been a while since I've looked into that. I would think probably so. 38 certainly makes the list. 32, if you're talking about, go back to late 18, early 1900s, look at the amount of 32s that was in use. And that was, think about it. Bad Leroy Bound, right? Yeah, it had a 32 gun in his pocket. So a lot was going on back then with 32s. So, that's been phased out. The 38 special hasn't been. It's still around. So, a lot of your black market firearms, stuff like that, there's still a lot of 38 revolvers floating around. But 22, I don't know, easy to get, plentiful, easy to carry a lot of it. So, and then look at the accidental factor even with 22. You've got a lot of carry. 22 can stay lethal for quite a distance. A lot of people don't think that. I was scared into that young, as probably a lot of people were. They were like, oh, yeah, 22 will go for 5 miles, blah, blah, blah. And I can bear witness to a 22 going over 1,000 yards and embedding into a 2x4, well over 1,000 yards. And it was embedded. Had to dig it out with a pocket knife, embedded into a 2x4. So, certainly light clothing, something like that. Provided it hit in the right spot, it could be game over. So, just because it's a smaller caliber, it doesn't mean that you don't need some type of backstop or something like that. Make sure that you know what's behind your target. One of the rules of shooting, right? Trauma Jock, he says, apparently lives under a rock. What does one do with a pressurized 2-liter bottle? You can shoot them with, or throw Chinese stars at them even, or whatever you want to do. You can shoot arrows at them if you want. You can shoot them with like a rimfire or something like that. And they just make a boom because they're pressurized up. And then, of course, when you shoot them, they split open. So, you've got that change in pressure, right? But what's cool is it's not dependent upon anything it's not dependent on a certain amount of energy or anything like that. All it has to do basically is pierce the plastic bottle. So seriously, you could basically throw Chinese stars at it and make booms with ninja stars. Why not, right? Tech Support maybe says offensive ammunition still seems to get the job done. It does. Where you get into the defensive stuff is, you want to, the whole idea with warfare, and if anybody out there is a vet, I know Ghost is, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but when you're dealing with a warfare, injury is a much more effective way to win in that scenario than a kill. And the reason is you've got that person injured and now somebody has to drag them off the battlefield or somebody has to attend to them medically or something. So you're taking, you know, it's taking up more people when it's, you know, that sort of thing. Whereas in a defensive situation, you need to be able to flat stop the threat, period. The other part of that is going to be over-penetration. There's not a whole lot of stories out there where there's been a problem, but at the very least, you could have property damage and stuff or something like that. I mean, you would hate to, because you would be liable. You'd hate to be in a situation to where, let's say, you know, you were in a specific place, maybe it's an upscale joint, and it's an upscale restaurant, and they have collectibles and all kinds of things hanging around, and, you know, you fire off three rounds, and they, you know, you incapacitate the threat, let's say, but then, you know, on the opposite side of that, I mean, God forbid it should hit somebody else, but, you know, listen, they're thinking in terms of property alone that, you know, it goes through a, you know, antique third century Chinese vase that's sitting there that's worth, you know, six figures, right, in this restaurant. Well, you're liable for that. So, you know, besides the potential of other things. So the whole idea is for it to expand, slow down, which is effective also in, you know, when you get that slowdown and that expansion, it's got more time to dump that that terminal energy of the round, which is going to, you know, in essence, create a shock, right, to whatever you're hitting, you know, whatever your target might be. And that holds true even in the hunting world. Head Horse says more people die of four truck accidents than they do riding in a Porsche 911. Does that mean that Porsche is safer than the Ford? Well, no. Sam's talking about the 92s. He says, Lethal Weapon, Die Hard, just the name too. Yep, Die Hard, best Christmas movie ever, by the way. And if you disagree, if you think that Die Hard is not a Christmas movie, then I invite you to go watch it again, please. Roosted out there says he wants some Wilson Combat aftermarket parts for his 92. When he grows up, he'll be buying a Wilson Combat Beretta. The only thing Wilson Combat I've got some boxes of 458 SOCOM ammo and the upper, the barrel, the bolt. Trying to remember. And I want to say the gas block and gas tube. On my 458 SOCOM is all Wilson Combat. At the time, it was them and Rock River, I think, was the two. Only two you could even get 458 SOCOM stuff. So, yeah, Dead Horse says American Riflemen say more deer have been killed with 22 long than any other calibers combined. I totally believe it. I've heard that too, and I totally believe it. And a vast majority probably from the side of the road, which is really sad, but that's the way it is sometimes. Hey, Wag says, why is this chat so far behind? Because I'm one dude having to, I could like skip over a bunch of people, but I try not to do that. We'll get caught up though. Ed out there says, do I know any good gunsmith for blueing a Smith & Wesson revolver 25.5? If you're talking about in the area here, yeah, as far as blueing goes, I would, you know, or parkerizing or anything like that, I would look up Superior Arms and Machine, and they don't have that big of a web presence or nothing like that, but they're in Jacksonville. They're basically behind the bowling alley. But they do pretty good finish work. That's who's done most of mine as far as blueing or parkerizing, and pretty decent prices too. So I will try them first. Then there's Stone Range Gunsmithing. That would be my second choice. If you want me to give you a second choice out there. We're talking about scope magnification a little bit. I see. Guitar Man Pete out there in the house. Kenneth Swan also out there in the house. Yeah, Kenneth Swan says, Die Hard Christmas movie. Yep. Hey, everyone, just remember the Germans used 22s for snipers in World War II. Yeah, I mean, you could imagine. I mean, if you were used to all the booms and bangs and stuff going on, I mean, be kind of weird if you were shooting from some type of cover that was kind of muffling the sound signature and everything. You could certainly do a lot of damage with it. Kingpin out there, he says he has good eyesight. Why can't he seem to get the blurriness out of a scope at 200 yards every time, every scope? That's interesting. Wow, that's interesting. And I mean, I'm assuming you're adjusting your eyepiece out. I'm assuming that, you know, you're talking about a variable objective or fixed or, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But I'm assuming all that's set properly. Yeah, that's a good one. And then from there, I guess, what scopes? You're saying every time, every scope. So I'm assuming it's a variety of scopes. That's a little scary when you talk about you have good eyesight. Makes me wonder, do you have good eyesight? Or maybe there's a weird spot that when you're looking through a scope, it's just a little tiny spot in your eye. So, yeah, that would worry me a little bit. Sam out there, he says Lethal Weapon is a Christmas movie too. I could watch Lethal Weapon on Christmas. That wouldn't bother me much. 817 out there in the house. Says 5.56 NATO can reach 2.5 miles downrange if you had perfect scope sight. Oh yeah, you can go. You know, there's been a lot of videos done on, you know, how far they can go and still be deadly. Hey, Jake, what is happening, buddy? He's in the house now. But yeah, they, you know, that's why you got to watch shooting over berms and skipping berms, and particularly being just an outright idiot shooting up in the air. That's even worse. Yeah, Kingpin says, yeah, I know I'm doing something wrong or my eyes aren't as good as I think it, 200. Yeah, AWAG says try adjusting the parallax. Yeah, the parallax, like I said, your eyepiece, just the eyepiece. See what happens there, maybe. I think I'm caught up. Oh, my goodness. Interesting. Dead Horse says a 22 long rifle, he clocked at 330 feet a second and 1,000 yards. So faster than a 55 grain 223 out of a 16-inch barrel. Yeah, I mean, could be. And it, you know, that also depends on what kind of 22 long rifle. I mean, you've got the subsonic, you've got standard velocity, you've got it. We've talked about this, I think, on a Wednesday show before. Maybe time to dredge that back up and talk about the different velocities in 22 long rifle. But then you got supersonic velocity, high velocity, and the hyper velocity, maybe. So all of those, of course, going to make a difference. But yeah, it was over 1,000 yards. I've dug one out of a, it's been years ago, but dug one out of a 2x4 as part of a deer stand. And the target was literally over 1,000 yards away from it. Very interesting. Now, Michael Baker out there, he was having some problems with the email list earlier. He said, there might not be a problem with my email at all. Tried to resubmit, and it said user already present. But appreciate it. Yeah, I'll check it, Michael. It's not a problem. Yeah, it may have just been a glitch. I mean, since I announced it, there could have been two of you that was in the system trying to do it at the same time, and maybe that caused some kind of glitch. Who knows what kind of weirdness. It's all the robots out here on the internet side. You never know. Dead Horse says ballistic calculators never take into effect destabilization and tumbling, which bleeds speed super fast. Yes, absolutely. You know, the whole point is for that thing to cut through the air with the least amount of drag possible. That's kind of the point. Oh, there's Snob's wife and Gun Snob coming in like right under the wire, it looks like. Shame on y'all for being so late. So yeah, let's do a couple of things here as we clean up house. And we'll get out of here on a Monday. First, the Patreon chat of the night. So if you are a Patreon or if you are a Patreon, yeah, if you're a website, if you are over there on Patreon, then join us for that if you can. If you want to join us for that, then there's still time. You can make that happen. Absolutely not necessary, but you can. And then the cap giveaway. So I'll throw the video out for the cap giveaway. We're going to do that next week. Somebody is going to win a cap. Actually, three people are going to win. Well, I'm not going to say three people are going to win caps. We probably need to discuss that. That probably will be something we discuss in the Patreon chat tonight. So I don't know if I'm going to make it where you can win more than one cap, potentially, if you're just that darn lucky, or actually put a cap on it and say, well, if you win one, you're out of it. But either way, the chance to win some caps. And to do that, just go over here to clovertac.com, scroll down at the bottom, sign up for the email list there. Now, in closing this out, let me talk about that email list, which is something else we're going to talk about later tonight. But right now, you're not going to be spammed with anything. We're setting that up to eventually get a newsletter out. Yes. But that's not something where we're going to send you. I have never sent out an email except for just testing with a few viewers out there. Hey, you're next. What's up? Except for testing with a couple of viewers that were helping me out. I've never sent an email to that entire list, and it's been around for a while. So not going to spam you or stuff like that. Once we get the newsletter, get all that set up, we'll send that out at whatever interval, but I can promise you it won't be daily. It likely won't be weekly. Most likely it will be a monthly newsletter, I think. And there'll be cool stuff trying to lay out how we do that. So there'll be some cool stuff in there, videos to watch, special deals, maybe news, new platforms we're on, stuff like that, right? So should be pretty interesting. With that, we're going to get out of here. And if you are a patron, I will see you here in a couple of hours. If not, then we should catch you Wednesday, if not before, for Next Generation. Thanks for hanging out. Bye.